Well, good morning. Good morning to you all. Alex has very kindly sort of introduced me, if you haven't been here for the last few weeks. This is our last week here. My name is Vladimir Martinez, and I come here with my lovely family. We live and work and minister in the UK, in the southwest part of London. And we have had 4 weeks here with you guys, having a great time. We feel very blessed. We've been resting, trying to take it easy. And it's great. It's great because I have planned this series of 4 studies with the desire to sort of put them all together, link them all together to be a blessing for you. And if you haven't heard sort of the last week or a couple of weeks ago, I recommend you just go online and check them out and listen to them. I have had really good feedback. I hope it's been good to you if you have been here and have been listening to what the Lord has been giving us through His Word. And I have been very blessed to know that it's been helpful to you, because my prayer has been to be a blessing to you, and this is an answer to my prayer. So last week we were talking about the will of God. What is the will of God for us? And how do we find out what the will of God is? So today we're going to continue understanding the will of God, but in a more practical way. How do we apply the will of God in our everyday living? And I have entitled today's message, Grow. The scripture tells us that we need to grow, and growth is always happening. Regardless of whether or not we want it, growth is always happening. So, but I want to share this with you, not as a teacher will show or teach his students, but rather just like a fellow traveler, because I have a lot of room for improvement. My wife will tell you that. So, in a way, like Paul said to the Philippians, it's not that I have already attained, but I press on. I want to lay hold of the things that Christ has got for me. I want to reach forward. So I just want to walk alongside you and say, look, I am in this walk with you. And this is what I have experienced in my life as a Christian and in Christian ministry as a pastor. And I just want to show you what the scripture says about the importance of spiritual growth. So my heart's desire is for you to grow. Do you want to grow? I hope so. Now, like I already said, growth is something that happens continually. Growth is just part of life. And in my personal experience, I have seen moments in my life where growth has sort of plateaued, and I haven't seen much growth in my life. And sometimes this has gone for more than just weeks or more than just months. And it's sad to say that being there is not pleasant, because you just feel like you're stuck and you don't know why you're there. But I think probably the worst part is many times we don't even know how to get out of there. So I really just want to help you find out answers to those kind of questions. I've also seen in my pastoring and in my Christian ministry throughout the years, not just my own life, but those around me, it doesn't matter how young or how old people are, they all have issues. And many times people struggle. Many times people don't want to grow. And many times the people that want to grow, they don't know how to grow. So I just want to help us today in order to see how growth happens every day in our Christian walk. So I just want to talk about 3 things today. Simple. Growth is something natural and something that God is expecting of us. 2, how growth happens. And this is going to be the longest portion of my teaching. And then at the end, I just want to give you some practical examples. Practical examples that I hope will help you if you're stuck to get out of that hole. If you don't know whether or not you're growing, or how do you know if you're growing, and how to walk with the Lord in a more perfect way. Imagine as if it was a plant that has been put in the ground and you don't see it sprouting. But you know that the seed is there. And days go by and nothing really happens. Why? Or imagine your life as being that little plant that has just sprouted but has sort of stayed there for a while, and it doesn't seem to sort of grow any bigger and get any thicker and more mature. Or maybe that's you. You have probably grown a bit over the years, and you are more mature, and you're more established, and you have grown roots, but yet you don't see fruit. Why wouldn't you see fruit in your life? Or maybe you see a little bit of fruit here and a little bit of fruit there, but you want to be more fruitful. So hopefully today I will be able to help you with this. So if you open your Bible with me in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4. Now I recommend you in your own time today, this week, take the whole letter of Paul to the Ephesians and read it through. It's a fantastic letter. And study it through, and you will see the whole context of what we're going to be talking about today. So Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. It says, "And he himself," this is God, "gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a complete man, to a mature man," that's the idea, "to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of man in the cunning craftiness or deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Let's pray. Father, we recognize how much we need you. We know our lack. And we come to you, Lord, not just kind of recognizing it, but acknowledge it. The fact that if you don't do something, we don't really know what to do. So Lord, speak to us today. Speak to us through your word. Explain to us. Clarify things. Answer our questions. Help us, Lord, to experience more of you, experience more of your love, to understand and to be able to see you more clearly, so that we might not feel stuck in life and that we may see growth continually, that our Christian walk will be one of glory to glory, every day, every week, every month, every year, until we come to that place of completeness, of fullness, into the image of Christ, we pray. Amen. So Paul is addressing the Ephesians. If you know anything about the church of the Ephesians, Paul practically is writing to them from prison. And he's trying to encourage them to continue in the grace that God has given them. And he's explaining to them all of these benefits, all of these blessings that God has given them. But most importantly, he's talking to them about the beauty of coming to know God. So he's explaining how important it is for them to remain in this knowledge of God and how God himself has provided everything that they need for them to grow. And that's why he starts by saying that God has provided people, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, etc., with the purpose of equipping people and edifying them as a whole, as a body, as one entity. And he talks about the importance of unity and about how we become, in a way, like children, spiritual children. And if we're not careful, we can be swayed and moved about by different doctrines of different teachers, etc. But how by speaking in love and how being united to Christ and to one another, we grow. We become what God wants us to be, which is Christ-like. In the stature, in the measure of Christ. It's a whole body. So he uses the example there of a building, as if it was imagined that the platform has already been established, the foundations are there, and then you start putting brick on top of another brick on top of another brick, and then you make these structures that starts going up, and it grows until it becomes a complete building, a complete household of faith. Now, growth is something natural, like I already said. It happens. Whether or not you want it, it always happens. You know for a fact that every single day we're growing older. And some of us are gaining a lot of knowledge. So we're growing in knowledge. Unfortunately, not many of us grow in wisdom. You can reach old age and be very knowledgeable and unfortunately not very wise. And I say that in a nice way. Many of us grow larger. Many of us grow deeper. But you see, many things in life represent what God wants to teach us in the spiritual. When you leave a fruit on a tree, it grows to become mature. And with maturity, that fruit becomes softer, sweeter, nicer. If you cut that fruit of that tree too early, then it's hard, sharp, not ready. And I hope that our Christian lives are a representation of that continual growth by being attached to the vine that is Christ. Some things, like a good bottle of wine, if you open it and you don't drink it all and you leave it aside and you leave it there for a month or something, it will grow bitter, nasty. So there are things and there are people that grow to become bitter, resentful, hard, difficult. It's not that they were like that, but they became like that. So growth is always happening, always happening. So the Bible encourages us and teaches us throughout the entire book. You will see different areas where the Bible says we need to grow. We need to grow. For example, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, 17 to 19 talks about being rooted and grounded in love so that we may be able to comprehend the love of Christ. That idea of setting out roots and growing them in, getting deeper so that our faith has reason. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15, it says, dedicate yourself to study, to learn, to encourage others. This is Paul addressing Timothy and telling him how important it is for him to be committed to the teaching of the scriptures. And then he says, because by doing so, other people will see your progress. Growth. John chapter 15, when the scripture talks about Jesus as being the vine and us being the branches, he wants us to be attached to him so that we may bear fruit. And if you know anything about vines, they don't give fruit the first year, no, the second year, sometimes until the third or the fourth year, they start producing some fruit. And they need to be continually pruned and moved and attached and shaped so that they can produce abundantly. So the kind of growth that the scripture describes or that God wants from us is spiritual growth. We're not just talking about physical, intellectual, doctrinal type of knowledge, but we're talking about a growing in grace, a growing in faith, a growing in Christ's likeness. Now, when the person becomes a Christian, obviously that's just the beginning of it. So the person comes to know the gospel and the gospel impacts the person's life. And then all of a sudden, it's kind of like you're awakened to this other world that you never knew was there, the spiritual world. And then you realize that God is real and that he loves you and he cares for you. And you understand that he came to give his life so that you might be changed. But that is only the beginning. Knowing the gospel is only the beginning. And the Bible encourages us to grow in that walk with the Lord all the time. It's just a starting line of faith, and you need to run the race. So growth is natural, organic. It happens whether or not you want it. Now, let me move on to the second part of my teaching, and this is probably going to be the longest part, so bear with me. How does growth happen? So growth and change are both synonyms. Let me repeat that again. When you think about growth, you have to think about change. Growth does not happen without change. And change is the result of growth. So in order for a person to grow, you need to change. You cannot remain the same and grow. That's impossible. Last week, I just gave a little example about when somebody, for example, starts building muscle, starts exercising and lifting weights. In order for their muscles to grow, they need to tear. They need to break. If that muscle doesn't get pushed, if there is no change in the tissue, there is no growth. So in other words, if you want to see growth in your life, you need to experience change. Change is important. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like change very much. My wife will tell you that I like things a certain way, and I've got a place for everything, and I like things in their place. I want to go to that particular whatever, drawer, wardrobe, and find what I left there. I don't like things to be moved around and changed. I find that difficult. I like to have things in order. But unfortunately, that order can become a control over my life. Maybe you're like me and you don't like change. And maybe you think, well, you know the saying, old dogs cannot learn new tricks. The good thing is that you're not dogs. And we're not learning new tricks. We're people who need to change in order to grow. How do we know whether or not we're growing? Again, change will be the parameter that will dictate whether or not a person is growing. If a person is changing, that's a good indicator that we are growing. But change in itself, you can change either way, right? You can get better or you can get worse. So change in itself is not productive unless it's proper, good change. Is your life looking more like that of Christ? Are you becoming more Christ-like? According to the book of Galatians chapter 5, are we showing or having the fruits of the Spirit? There are love and joy and patience and kindness and long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Shall we ask your family? Shall we ask your friends, those around you, the ones that are closer to you, and see what they say? Because maybe you may think, yes, I'm changing. But can others see that change in your life? Because you see, change is not for your own sake. Change is usually for the sake of others when you're talking about Christianity. When you go through that change, it's not pleasant. I don't see anywhere in the scripture when it says that once you come to Christ, life is just going to be sweet and lovely, and it's just going to be all together, holding hands and singing kumbaya, and you know, everything is going to be happy clappy, and you're never going to have trouble in your life again, and you're just going to sing hallelujah until you go to heaven. I don't see that in the scriptures. What I see is people who have faith, and that faith motivated them to be different. And because they were different, they achieved things, and they loved others, and they served others, and they gave their lives, and were willing to go to prison and suffer martyrdom because they believed that this was the will of God for their lives. So If you don't want to go through suffering and struggle and trial and tribulation and changing your own life and being stressed and probably being tired a little, you're not going to grow. There is not going to be change in your life. If all you like is just to be comfortable and sit on your couch and continue watching the next episode of whatever it is that you like and having another glass of wine and not suffering and just kind of, and then ask, why is it that I don't see change in my life? You're too comfortable. So how do we know if you're not growing? Well, you're not becoming Christ-like. The fruits of the Spirit are not obvious in your life. People don't see love. They actually see that you're a bit nasty sometimes. You're not patient. You're short and sharp and rude. You're not kind and loving. That's a good show that you're not growing. According to the scripture, the person that is not growing is because the flesh is the one that is really ruling that person's life. Paul addresses the Corinthians and he talks to them and he says, I could not address you as spiritual. I could not talk to you as if you were spiritual people. But rather, I addressed you as people of the flesh, carnal. People like they are babes in Christ. Because although at this time you should not be drinking milk, you should be in solid food, I cannot speak to you in a way that you understand because you're selfish. You're all fleshy. All you care about is yourself. And then later on in the same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he starts talking to them about love and how important it is for a Christian to be a person of love. And in that context, he says to them, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But now that I have become a man, I have put aside childish behaviors. I don't know about you, but I think many of us struggle with not childlike, but childish attitudes in our lives. And I'm not talking about an immaturity that is like literally like a child. What I'm talking about is we are very selfish people. That's just the honest truth. We are very selfish. We think of ourselves and ourselves alone a lot of the time. J. Oswald Sanders, the general director for China Inland Mission, wrote a book called On to Maturity. In that book, he tried to describe the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian. And listen to what he says. He says, the change into the likeness of Christ is not automatic. It involves moral endeavor and activity. We're not only to let go and let God. We're also to put off and put on certain things. And these involves definite activity for the renewed will. It is not the inevitable result of passive daydreaming about Christ. In other words, it's not just wishful thinking that makes you mature. It's a decision that the person commits himself, herself to, and he says, or she says, I want to grow in faith, I want to grow in grace, I want to grow in Christ-likeness, I'm going to commit myself, and God is going to help me. He then goes on, Sanders goes on to explain how this spiritual growth happens. And he attributes this work to God, the Holy Spirit, how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And he says that there are two kinds of operations that the Holy Spirit does, one negative and one positive. He starts with the negative. And he says that the Holy Spirit reveals things to our lives and our character that are not like Christ. So everything that is alien to the perfection of Christ, he says, it must go. It must be rejected. I know that this is not pleasant, but if we sincerely desire to be transformed, he says, we need to be willing to remove everything that mars the image of Christ in us. Now, when he talks about the positive work of the Holy Spirit, he says that the Holy Spirit enables us to let go. So he doesn't just point out to what is wrong and highlights it. He says that the Holy Spirit enables us. He helps us to let go and to put on the new man, to die to self. And he reveals to us the blessings that come when we take those decisions for Christ. Now, whose work then is for us to grow? It's a work of God, according to Sanders. But it's also our own work. God does the work, and yet he requires us to do the work. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So the scripture says that the operation of change that happens in our lives is the work of the Holy Spirit. We are being changed. We're being transformed. The idea there is the word metamorphosis. We're being completely renewed into something different in our minds, in our hearts. But whose responsibility is to grow? Ours. It's our responsibility. So in other words, spiritual work is the work of God. And is a Trinitarian work. What do I mean by that? Is the work of the Father, is the work of the Son, and is the work of the Holy Spirit. The entirety of God is committed for your personal growth. The Father provides everything that you need for growth. Under his shadow and under his protection, he gives you everything that you need in order for you to flourish. Everything. He gave Christ, didn't he? So that you may be saved. And he provides, according to Ephesians 1:17, wisdom, revelation, knowledge. He enlightens your mind and your understanding. He adopts you as his child, and he empowers you with his Spirit. That is all the work of the Father, because he wants us to grow. Growth is the work of Jesus in our life. Doesn't the scripture say that he is the initiator and the perfecter of our faith? So he starts the work, and he makes sure that the work is finished. He wants you to commit to that process of growing so that you don't just start and then quit halfway. Or go for a little tour around and then come back. He wants you to continue in that walk until it's finished. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit, because it is the Spirit who leads us into all truth and all righteousness. The Holy Spirit is the teacher, is the leader, is the one that says to you, come and I'm going to take you to the next step. But there is where our problem lays. Why is it that we do not grow? So let's go back to our text. And look with me in verse 13. Until we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a fully grown man, to a complete man. And he tells you what image? To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Have you ever heard when people say, well, in this life we're never going to be perfect, you know? Have you ever heard that? It doesn't matter how much you try and how hard you push, you're just never going to make it. You're going to have to live with that kind of attitude of, okay, yeah, well, I'm in a fallen world, and I am in a fallen state, and I'm a fallen creature. Therefore, I'm never going to be able to achieve perfection until the day I die and I, you know, go and meet Christ. That's the idea, right? But unfortunately, people use that and twist it to say, because I cannot achieve perfection in this life, I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to take it easy and enjoy the ride. And one day, when I die, I will become Christ-like. I don't think that's what the scripture teaches us. What I see in this verse right here is that God is providing everything that we need, but he wants us to be united, together. So growth is not just the work of God in our lives. Growth is also the work that we have right here, together. If you have a brick here and a brick there and another one over there, do they make a room? Do they build a house? Can you have a whole building if you have a little bit of cement there and a little bit of gravel over there and you have a pile of bricks over there? Can you have a wall or a house? No. Things have to be together. There has to be unity. One thing complements the other and strengthens the other, and they become what God wants them to be. So growth happens in community. That's why when you come to Christ, you don't just die and go to heaven. God leaves you in a family where your wife and your spouse is so challenging and so difficult, and your children make you sweat and pray and cry and laugh, right? And then if that was not enough, then God brings you to a church where people are just people. Because growth doesn't happen independently. Growth happens in community. Iron sharpening iron. When somebody can point something and say, hey, this is not right. This needs to change. Hey, you're late. Yeah, again. Hey, I've seen you doing this. It's not quite what God says. Or when somebody helps you and encourages you and prays for you and helps you, be lifted up. Growth happens in community. So if you're one of those people that just like to go alone, like a lone ranger, not a good idea. You become a long danger to yourself and to others. Have you ever heard of those Christians that don't like to be in community? No, it's just me and God. I'm okay. Don't tell me anything. It's just me and God, brother. Because they've gone to one church and the other church and the other church, and they can never find the perfect church. Let me tell you the truth. They're never going to find the perfect church as long as they are there. Because the problem is inside, right? The problem is here. It's not there. Spiritual growth happens as we become knowledgeable of God himself. It says, until they come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So growth happens when you have knowledge. Knowledge of God, experiential knowledge of that relationship with Christ. When somebody knows Christ, that person is going to grow. But also knowledge in the terms of the scripture is a clear understanding of the doctrines of the Bible. I know lots of people that know a lot about the Bible, but they don't know the Bible. A lot of people that come up with all kinds of ideas about what the Bible says, but they have never read the Bible. And I can tell you for a fact that the more people I get to know, the more people struggle in their lives is simply because they ignore what the Bible says. It's that simple. I've known Christians that have been Christians for 30, 40 years, and they have never read the Bible, not even once. They know the Bible, and they go to church, and they're committed Christians, but those are the kind of Christians that they see issues everywhere. And they have, you know, particular topics that they want to debate and fight over. Very strong. But not really knowing the scriptures. According to the Bible, a knowledge of the scripture furnishes us, makes us complete, equips us, builds us up. How would you know what is right and what is wrong if you don't know what the Bible says? How would you change if you don't know what God requires from you? How would you understand whether or not you're doing the right thing if the Bible doesn't tell you it's the right thing? Does that make sense? 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. Wow. Colossians 3:10 says, put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And in this very chapter that we're reading, the book of Ephesians chapter 4, just read with me a few verses, please, if you would like. Verse 21, it says, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, notice the word taught, as the truth is in Jesus, verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So the Bible encourages us to have a change, a continual change of our thinking. And I don't know any better way to grow spiritually than allowing the scripture to be the scrub that washes away all the dirt in our hearts, in our minds, in our beings. It is through the knowledge of the word of God that we are renewed and we grow. Now let me go to my third and last point. If you're stuck, and you don't know why you're stuck, and you don't know how to get out of there, what can you do in order to grow in the Lord? So we already talked about change, the importance of change. There has to be a willingness in you to change. You need to let go and allow God to work in you and through you. But also we need persistence, because change doesn't happen just like that, right? How many of you have resolutions this year of, say, for example, getting fit or losing weight or, you know, I don't know, reading a new book or something like that? That requires persistence, right? Every day you commit yourself. You get up a certain time. You commit to go out jogging or training a certain amount of time or stopping yourself from eating this and that type of food or doing this and that so that you achieve what you want. And that requires constant, persistent, patience, commitment, doesn't it? So change doesn't just happen like that without being constant. The best piece of advice that I suppose I can give you today is very, very simple. Do you really want to change? Do you really want to grow in Christ? Do you really want to grow in Christ? Okay, here it is. Are you ready? It's very simple. Just go to die. That's it. If you want to grow in Christ, you need to die to yourself. That's what the scripture says. If you don't die to yourself and pick up your cross and follow Christ, that is not going to happen. And believe me, God is not going to die once again for you. And he's not going to pick up your cross and he's not going to carry it for you. He's already done that. He's already opened the road so that you can walk through it. But the way is simple. Die to yourself, pick up your cross, and walk. So if you're not willing to die to yourself, it's not going to happen. It's not. Now, we know that we know a lot about the Bible, many of us, and we know that, yes, okay, I need to have self-denial, and I need to follow Christ, and I need to do this. But if it's just knowledge, and it hasn't come to be applied to your heart, and you're not putting it into practice, what's the point, right? The devil knows. Makes no change to his life. Because he's unwilling to submit to the will of God. He's unwilling to put into practice what he knows is the right thing. So in other words, faith without works is dead. It has no purpose. So yes, our job is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Yes, our job is to learn about the scriptures. Yes, our job is to deny ourselves, etc. But this will form Christian character only as long as you put it into practice. If today the Lord speaks to you and says something to you, I want you to let go of this. And you hold back and you're like, whoa. Not just yet, Lord. Maybe next week. Maybe next month. Maybe at the end of this year. Are you going to grow? No. But if the Lord shows something to you and he reveals his will to you and he says, this is the way, walk in it, and you obey and you follow and you do what the Lord tells you, there is going to be change. There is going to be growth. So what stops us from growing is very simple. Ourselves. Because if God the Father wants you to grow, if God the Son wants you to grow, if God the Holy Spirit wants you to grow and they provide everything that you need, what can stop growth from happening? Us. We can stop growth from happening. That's why in this very chapter, it talks about putting away the things that are not according to Christ-like and putting on the things that are Christ-like. And then it gives you very simple clear examples. Look at verse 26 with me. It says, be angry, but do not sin. And then later on, it says, he who stole, let him steal no longer. And then verse 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. So it's telling you very practical things, right? You used to do this, stop doing it, behave differently. And then look at what it says, verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The only reason why somebody may not grow spiritually is because the person is continually stopping, rejecting, grieving the Holy Spirit of God and saying, nope, 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 no. He says, go this way, I'll go that way. He says, come here, I say, I won't go. He says, obey, and you are like, mm-mm. That's the only reason why somebody may not grow spiritually. People just get stuck in their own ways. You just get so used to doing things your way that you don't want to do it God's way. A lot of people struggle just with laziness, really. You know, a lot of people are lacking self-control. A lot of people just, you know, they love themselves and everything that they do so much that change will be unthinkable. And maybe some of us struggle with victim mentality. Maybe you are one of those people that think, well, you know, I've done this all my life, and this is who I am, and this is how I grew up, and this is what characterizes me, so why should I change? Or maybe you think, well, somebody done that for me, and somebody hurt me this way, and this is just how I have learned to protect myself, and I don't want anything to sort of change or disturb my life, therefore, no. That's a good recipe for not growing. Pride, lack of faith, thinking that things are impossible. Building patterns in your own life that just take you nowhere. You kind of keep going around in circles. And you've done that so many times. And you think something is going to change. And you continue doing it. That's insanity. thinking that repeating the same thing over and over again, something somehow is going to change. You need to do things differently in order for change to happen. In other words, when you allow your flesh to drive your life, you're just going downhill, and you're going downhill fast. It's very easy to go downhill, isn't it? Very easy. If you're a walker or a runner, you know that going downhill is very easy. You don't have to put any effort. You just go. But you know that going uphill is hard. But that's what God calls us to. A life where the Spirit of God is the one that is leading us. And you know what? He equips you and he trains you and he says, we're going uphill. And you just need to do it. It's hard, yes, of course. It's going to take commitment, challenge, yes, of course. Sometimes it's going to ache, of course. Growth pains, right? It hurts to grow. But if you want to grow, that's the way. I just want to encourage you by letting you know that you're not alone. You're not doing this alone. God is right there with you. He's the one that says, go, and I am here with you. Remember that verse that says, take up my yoke upon you. The idea there is two animals, an older bull and a younger bull, or an older, whatever, ox, donkey, and a younger one. And the older one knows where to go and how to do the work. And the younger one keeps on pulling away. Christ is saying to you, I'm here with you and I'm walking alongside you. You just got to follow. You just got to follow. He's there to help you, to guide you, to strengthen you. Matthew 7 says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. And I'd like to ask you, do you ask God to help you grow? Do you knock on the door and say, Lord, I really want this change in my life? Do you search it? Do you look for it? If something that you really wanted, until you find it. Or you're just kind of casually going about it thinking, oh, one day. One day I'll be patient. One day I'll be loving. One day I'll have some self-control. One day, you know, the Lord is going to do something. John 15 says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. When you have knowledge of the scripture and you embrace God's promises and you understand that God is on your side and he wants you to grow and develop and become more Christ-like, there is no way you can fail. No way. No way, because you're carrying the name of Christ on you. Everything that happens in your life depends on him. He makes sure that his name is glorified. But he says, abide in me. Let me do the work in your life and through your life. Don't fight me. Let's walk together. Just a few practical examples. If you are married, listen to your wife. Listen to your husband. They know you better than you do. They know where you're failing. They know where you need to change. They know. But if you don't, if you're one of those that says, nope, I'm right and you're wrong, I'm right, you're wrong in everything. You just want to always be right and never listen to others. God uses people to come alongside you to help you. If you're not married and you're just single, get an accountability partner. Somebody that you know that you can trust, somebody that you know that you can share something, somebody that can speak into your life, you can speak into their lives, somebody that can pray for you and you can pray for them. Somebody that can be honest and open and say, look, I'm struggling with this, help me. And then both of you together can read the Bible and pray together and encourage one another and face the difficulties together. It's not the same going out running alone that going out running with a team, right? It's not the same. Get plugged in. Come alongside others. They need your help, your support, your prayers, your encouragement. You need them too. And finally, make a plan. Make a plan for growth. Do any of you here have businesses? Raise your hand if you got a business. Okay, plenty of you. Do you guys are part of a career or something like that? Raise your hand. Do you have like a career? Do you work in a particular place? Do you have sort of a progression? Any of you? Yeah? Okay. What do you do in a business? What do you do in life in general? Do you just go about it, aiming nowhere? And just kind of expecting things to happen? No. You mark a path, right? You make a plan. You say, I'm here, I'm going to be there. And you find a way to make it there. You grow in your career. You develop. You become a senior. And then after that, an executive. And after that, you become a trainer of other people and so on. Because there is a progression. And sometimes I think we go about in our Christian walk just as with a blindfold, expecting something to happen. No plan. Make a plan. What are you going to work on this year? What are the three areas of your life spiritually that you're going to change this year? That you know for a fact that all last year God kept on insisting these are the three things that need to change in your life. Or these particular areas need to, you know, be completely transformed in your life. What are you going to do about them? Make a plan. We plan for everything in life, but yet for godliness, for righteousness, for Christ-likeness, we don't. That's why we don't go anywhere. That's why we don't achieve things. That's why we get stuck. That's why we keep on going around the same loop. Yes, it's the work of God. Absolutely. And I trust that he will continue doing the work, but it's my responsibility. Let's pray. We're going to have a couple of people here coming up, and they want to pray for you today. If God spoke to you and you need prayer, please come up here, and we'll be happy to pray for you. If you feel like you've been stuck and you've tried this and you've tried that and you just feel like you cannot do it, you need help. Ask for help. We're here to help you. So we're going to have a couple of people here. If you feel the Lord is speaking to you right now and whilst we sing a song of praise, you feel led to come up here and be prayed for, please come up. There is absolutely no shame in needing help. And this is why we're here, because God has put us in a community so that we can help, bless, love, encourage one another. Father, I think all of us want to become like you. I think we can see how important it is, Lord, to become Christ-like in our everyday living. We want to grow and mature and be used by you. We want to see your spirit at work in our lives. We want to see miracles. We want to see the operation of your Holy Spirit in our lives and through our lives. We want to be a blessing to those around us. We want to proclaim the gospel. We want to see people coming to Christ. We want to be salt and light of this world. We want to flourish. We want our lives, our marriages, our children, our grandchildren, everything that we do, Lord, we want it to prosper, to grow. And we're here acknowledging and saying to you, Lord, help us. We know that you want. Help us and forgive us, Lord, for fighting you so much, for getting in the way, for not being willing to die, for not being willing to carry our cross, for not being willing to commit to your word, for not obeying your instructions, your spirit. You call us to be holy because you're holy, and how will holiness come if we're not separated for you? We acknowledge our need of you today, Lord. Help us. Encourage us. Empower us. Fill us with your spirit, Lord. Fill us anew with yourself. Grow our faith. Help us to trust you. Help us to walk without hindrance. Help us not just to drag our heels, but to walk and to run. Help us to live a Christian life that is victorious and not stuck. Help us indeed, Lord, to be light, to shine brightly for your praise, for your name, for your glory, because you're worth it, Lord. You're worth our sacrifice. You're worth our commitment to you, because we want to give you fruit today, tomorrow, all this year. We're going to gather plenty for you, Lord. We want to become the people that you want us to be. Christ-like people, people full of love and peace and joy, patience and kindness and gentleness, people who are full of self-control, and people who truly are a reflection of Christ. Help me, help us, Lord. We need you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for your commitment to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.